My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Ball game, 6 in a row for the Astros, matching their longest winning streak of 2024. The Astros now move as close as they have been to Seattle in a month, as they are now 4.5 back of the Mariners in the American League West. Bummer, the Astros rolling along.
Yeah, Astros rolling along. They are 4.5 games back in the division. They win 5-2 last night. They are 3 back in the loss column and 3.5 back in the wild card. So they are...
One game back from 500, yeah. 39-40 right now. Yep. That's the one they seem to fixate on the broadcast more on the 500 mark, which I like. I like, because that's the more attainable and achievable one that you have control over right now. It's like, all right, get to 500, and then it's almost like starting at square one. Some of the good teams are going to suck in the second half of the season. Some of the teams behind you, like the Rangers or whomever else, might surge, but 500 you control for now.
They're ahead of schedule in terms of getting back to five. Obviously, they're behind schedule compared to what we thought they would be before the season started. But when they were 7-19 at the rock bottom of all this thing, and you know, even a week ago, literally a week ago, Seth, we were coming in on the heels of losing 2-0 to the White Sox. That was Wednesday morning last week. They were 10 games back after losing to the White Sox. And now they've picked up 5.5 games in a week. I mean, that this week has been huge to the turnaround, obviously. But when they were, when things were really bad in April, and we're kind of assessing things, and Jose Abreu stinks, and the pitching's terrible, and the bullpen's imploding, I was using the All-Star break as sort of my kind of, you know, the tent pole in this whole thing. Yeah. Like, all right, get back to 500 by the All-Star break. I think that would have been 48-48. I think they played 96 games prior to the All-Star break, if I'm remembering my worrying correctly about all this. So if they get back to 40-40 at the end of the day today, they're 2 weeks ahead of schedule for where I was hoping they would be when things were really, really bad with this team.
So they're ahead of your schedule for the comeback. This next road trip after the Colorado game, and I'm not sleeping on this Colorado game because it's all just, it's baseball, mm-hmm. but three games versus the Mets, four games versus Toronto, three games versus Minnesota. I mean, that is a rubber meets the road situation, and if you can go on through that onslaught of a road trip and come out better than you are right now, that it could get super, super exciting.
Yeah, especially as Minnesota is one of the teams you're chasing in the wild card. Huh? I'm going to be at two of those games up in Minnesota. That's the early part of my vacation.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure to...
You got your orange ready?
I'll be sure.
You got to stick out on the broadcast.
Don't worry.
Okay? I got to be able to pick you out.
We're going to two games, Amy and I are. We're going on the 5th and the 6th, Friday, Saturday. The Friday game, you might see us. If we get some home runs into the left field bleachers there, because we're sitting front row left field on Friday
nice.
Night.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Front row. You can have your glove? You bring in your glove?
Maybe. Just to dork out
glove.
As much as
Go
possible.
Buy an orange glove today.
Or a Josh Hader glove that's like the sky blue one. It's something that stands
yeah.
out. Yeah. So we're doing front row left field on Friday. And then we just bought cheap tickets for Saturday. And we're just going to kind of walk around the ballpark and sit at the bars and sit in the random spot. You know, like one walk around day, one sit in our seats day. But hopefully we bring a couple wins. But, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Rubber meets the road. Because Toronto is a team that's in between you and the wild card right now as well.
Yeah. You know, yeah, and they're not. I mean, they're 36-43. It's not like they're having a – they haven't delivered on the promise from these last couple seasons.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not a patsy you're facing.
No. And then the Mets in New York coming up later this week.
The 36-43 in that division feels like more like a 500 baseball team.
It's a good division. Yeah, you know? You got the Yankees and the Orioles there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, if we're looking at the wild card race, Astros are 3-0 because that's the more manageable of the two right now, I guess, just in terms of sheer number of games. You're right. I said Toronto is one of those teams you're chasing. They've fallen out lately. They've not had they're 3-7 in their last 10. So yeah, they're behind the Astros. The two teams in between the Astros and the last wild card spot are the Royals and Tampa Bay, who I'm going to watch play each other on the 4th of July in Kansas City. We're hitting a bunch of ballparks on our trip. So I'll have eyes on a lot of these teams.
If you're looking for Schadenfreude, too, the Yankees are a disaster right now.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole's been miserable in his two starts since a comeback, including the one yesterday, since he came back,
yeah.
Including the one yesterday where he set a Yankees record for atrocities and did something nobody else had ever done in 18,000 Yankees games. He allowed four home runs,
four walks,
walked four, and struck out nobody.
Yep. Yeah, that's a little I mean, if you're a Yankee fan, Seth, I know my fixation on strikeouts is well known on this show, but
no, which is fine.
Barometer. You know, if I'm a Yankee fan and Gerrit Cole's walking four and striking out none to me is way more alarming than him giving up four home runs.
Right.
you know?
I mean, he's coming off of Cy Young. You know.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole will get himself right, I would imagine. Chances are better than not he's going to get himself right. He is 34 years old, you know? It's just sometimes, I don't know if you know, Sean, but sometimes great baseball players age very, very, very quickly.
I don't know what you're
sometimes
talking about.
Sometimes it's at first base, sometimes it's pitching.
You say so. I don't know. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Dana Brown was on MLB TV yesterday with Brian Kenny, and obviously the complexion of things for the Astros has changed drastically in a week. Dana Brown, are you buying, are you selling, or are you standing pat as GM of the Houston Astros?
Oh yeah, we're buying. I mean, we're in that mood where, you know what, we can get better. We're going to try to get better. I don't see us, and I said back then, I don't see us as a club that's going to be a seller. I've never been around a really good major league team that you know, didn't fight to the finish. And these guys, they have grit, and they'll fight to the finish, and it's a good ball club. So ultimately, I think these guys are on the road right now. I think once we get on all cylinders for, you know, like a month straight, I think you'll see really good things out of this club. The goal, as I mentioned, is to get back to 500 and then go on that run and try to take over, you know, the lead in the division. And that's what, you know, that's what our main focus is, win the division.
There is so many things. It's been such a weird year for the Astros bats, where they continue to lead the league in batting average. They're fifth in the league in OPS or somewhere thereabouts. Like, they've been very, very good. They strike out at an incredibly low rate, and yet for a team that's been renowned for its pitch judgment, and even though they're not striking out that much, they're still chasing a lot. Like, their judgment at the plate has not been quite right. So they're not as competitive, and they're not wearing pitchers down the way they used to. So it's there. It's right there. They're doing almost everything right except for just a little bit better judgment at the plate. And then it seems like, man, you could really take off. You could really take off. And like we've seen from all the various guys on this team, their ability to do so. So that's the, like, there's just, it's not a huge insurmountable thing that's keeping them from really exploding. It's just getting back a little bit of something.
Yep, that's right. Dana Brown, do you have enough right now? A lot of injuries in the rotation. Justin Verlander, who, by the way, we should update people. Justin Verlander, his recovery, slower than they expected it to be. We should have mentioned that in headlines. We didn't. Justin Verlander, we were just so euphoric over yet another win and another Seattle loss. But Justin Verlander, the comeback for him, a little slower than they expected. With a neck injury, which is really tied to a shoulder, maybe, probably, who knows? Luis Garcia could pitch a Florida Complex League game this weekend. That's good news. Kyle Tucker took swings off a tee on Sunday and could begin running in the next few days. We'll get to an update on Tucker here in just a second from Dana Brown. But with all these injuries in the rotation, do you have enough in your starting rotation right now, Dana?
Yeah, we have enough. Seven guys on the IL right now as of, you know, today. Seven starters, you know, and that's difficult, you know, in combination with a couple of relievers as well. But, you know, I was talking to our guys earlier, you know, thank God I, you know, put Blanco in the rotation last spring and during spring training. He's been really a big piece to this, you know, and it's been a team effort. You know, I put him in the rotation. The guys gave him the really good changeup. And as a team, we worked that together. And, you know, the rest is history. He's been pretty good for us. And he's been really the anchor in this rotation with all the injuries. So he's been pretty good.
There's one thing about Verlander where, yes, sure, he'd love him to come back ASAP, and if the recovery were going alarmingly well, then so be it. There's a part of me that looks at it as a silver lining. If he comes back at a point where him hitting that option trigger isn't even a consideration and you don't worry about it at all, then there's no conflicting motivations at all, and he can just focus on, you know, pitching as well as he can for the rest of the season and not worry about it. Then I would actually feel better about that. And if you get him fresh, if the young guys can continue to pitch well, then I just, having a fresh Verlander, as you have Luis Garcia, as you have Lance McCullers, I know nobody wants to hear that and nobody relies or depends on it. I understand that. That's the way you should feel. And yet, it's not a pie in the sky notion that Lance McCullers can come back and pitch a half season.
Right. It's almost like some people are rooting that he doesn't come back in a weird way. You know what I mean? Like,
you look at the guy. Yeah.
You know, like, it's like the guy's throwing bullpens right now. He looks pretty good throwing bullpens. It's like, you know, and Lance might come back. I'm like, yeah, but you can't count on him. I know. But if he does come back, that would be really cool, right? Like, he is good at pitching, you know?
The biggest X factor is when you look at all the guys that are on the IL, and right now it's six starting pitchers who are on the IL. Urquidy, nothing to be done. Javier, nothing to be done there. But just on the guys that are going to come back, if you had starting pitchers Justin Verlander, Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers, That's a pretty big shot in the arm. And then Jake Bloss is the big X factor.
Yep.
Jake Bloss, we just don't know. He's coming back just fine. He looks to be on track. And will could be a story for the ages, could be an afterthought. We just don't know.
Yeah, it's middle of next week is about when it starts to set in for the Astros, like this, the lack of depth in the rotation. These off days have been a godsend for the Astros.
Right. Yeah, you know, you're starting pitchers right now who aren't on the Framber, awesome. Hunter Brown, no problem there. Rennell Blanco, my God. Oh, and Spencer Arrighetti. Okay, the other big X factor.
Yeah, yeah.
Spencer Arrighetti, Jake Bloss, and Lance McCullers Jr., I guess, would be the... Am I way too optimistic about Luis Garcia?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, by the time he's pitching here, he's going to have shaken the rust off. I mean, he's doing a ramp-up. Like, I'll use Lance in 2022, whatever year he was coming back from, where he had to do that long ramp-up. Remember, I think it was 2022, the year they won the World Series, and he came back like in August. He pitched, other than the World Series game where he got shelled, he pitched really well for the Astros. You know, like, this isn't anything where Garcia's been sitting on the couch and they're handing him a ball. I mean, he's ramping up to get his arm back to being at a big league level. So I don't think we'll know by the time it's getting imminent that he's coming back as to whether or not, because they'll be able to measure his velocity and the spin rate and everything else. You know?
I look forward to when people ask the questions that they always do when a guy comes back from a long, long rehab about, like, hey, were there any dark days or did you ever doubt yourself? I know exactly how Luis Garcia is going to answer those questions. He's like, no, it was all cool. I showed up. I got to come to the ballpark and hang out and do the rehab. It was, everything's good. Why? Was that? Should I have gotten depressed about something?
Maybe I should have gotten depressed these last 2 years I've been out.
Remember when they clarified the rule about the box and it was going to gonna mess with his Rock the Baby action and everything? When they asked him about that, he was kind of like, I don't know. Yeah, I won't rock the baby. Okay,
it
whatever.
Is, you know, and we didn't really get to see him operate in that new world for very long. You know, he only got like 5 or 6 starts before he hurt his arm last year.
It wasn't as big a deal because he only did that when there was nobody on base, like when he was it wasn't like he didn't know how to pitch without rocking the baby. It was more of a minor change than we probably made it out to be.
Although he did
tear his UCL while trying to do it.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Like changing up any routine, like if a UCL tear happens, like there you go, there's the reason. World Baseball Classic and changing his delivery. There you go.
Thanks a lot, Major League Baseball.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Manfred.
Tell you what, I mean, it's not out of the question, though. Like, if you get the good version of Luis Garcia and you get the good version of Lance McCullers, both with surgically repaired arms, those are like two huge trade deadline pickups, honestly. I mean, they're as good as anything that's available out there right now at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. You know,
with Lance, it's not, I think it's, you just got to forget about what his contract is or anything else or what might have been. The big question with Lance is just, all right, will he be all on board if they have to use him creatively?
Right.
And, you know, like as much as he balks at the notion of being a reliever, he's been a part of piggyback efforts before and everything. I think he might be way more open to it this year.
Maybe. You know? At least if it's just for a few months, just to kind of help the team triage their way into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, like whatever it's all takes. Hands on deck, got to do whatever it takes. And this is just, listen, you're going to be a starting pitcher next year.
Yeah.
And we'll use you conventionally from day one, but for now, we just got to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, man, I want to help the team win. Verlander's pitched 57 innings this year, so he's got 83 innings left that he would need to pitch to trigger his vesting option, his player option, in which he gets $35 million. If he hits 140 innings, then he can opt into another year of the deal. $35 million, half of which the Mets would be picking up. There was a point in the season where, you know, like when Verlander was humming a little bit and he was through the shoulder issues from earlier in the year, I was really rooting for him to get to the 140 innings pitched. I guess I probably still would be, considering the Mets are picking up half the tab. Like, Justin Verlander that misses a month and a half or whatever at $35 million, probably not worth it. Yeah. A Justin Verlander that you kind of bake in missing a certain amount of time because at that point he'll be 42 years old next year, I can probably deal with for $17.5 million. It makes it harder on Joe Espada and the staff because you can't plan for when those missed starts are going to be. It's just, hey, he's 42 and now his neck hurts. Now his side hurts. Now his back hurts. Things hurt when you're 42 years old. I just don't know that he's going to get there now, Seth. I think he may be more up against math than anything else. He needs 83 innings, which if he were to pitch, call it five innings and change in per start, you know, like five. Verlander's not a guy that normally goes more than six innings.
Yeah.
So that's 14-ish starts, something like that, right? If my math is correct, 14 yeah. times six is 84. So, yeah, 14 six-inning starts, which really means it's more like 15 or 16 starts. He's not going to go six every time. He'll have a couple clunkers in there. He's going to miss a couple more weeks. He's not even throwing yet, so he ain't going to hit the 140.
I just want it to be an afterthought where he's not. It doesn't affect his decision making, even subconsciously.
Yes,
you know, like if that's out there, even if he's trying to keep it out of his brain.
Yeah,
and so the other big X factor too, I suppose, that nobody wants to think about is okay. Two parts to this one: JP France, whose recovery has not gone well, but also like he was awful when he was out there. He's got a 7.46 ERA on the year. But you look at a guy that pitched 136 innings last year and had a 3.83 ERA. Like, we still don't know what we have with JP France.
Yeah.
And, would he go, you know, he was on that same track with Hunter Brown for dueling promising rookies last year. And Hunter Brown didn't always look magnificent. Mm-hmm. And certainly didn't look magnificent early this season. That's an X factor that I don't even really want to consider right this moment.
Yeah, the second time he got injured in the minor leagues is when I'm like, all right, I just can't count on him. You know, like, he's been dealing with it. He's been dealing with it since spring training. That's a good point, though. Like, he threw 130 innings last year. I think that's the thing you got to keep an eye on with Hunter Brown, with Ronel Blanco for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, really the only guy that you can count on at this point to still maybe feel the same way in September that he does right now physically is Framber, because he's just such a workhorse.
Yeah.
But those guys, you know, Hunter Brown and JP France both mentioned it last year, is like they fatigued in August and September because they hadn't been used to the workload, you know? So I think that's just something to keep an eye on. And maybe another reason why, while Dana Brown says, do we have enough in the rotation? Sure we do. That may be another reason why either A, you go get somebody, or B, you better know what you have in Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers coming back in as reinforcements here. The Kyle Tucker update from Dana Brown yesterday on MLB TV.
I initially thought that there was a fracture or something. I was really glad that he didn't fracture it, but it's really a sore bone as he described it. And so I think he should be back to baseball activity sometime this week. You know, and if he can get back to baseball activity, that's when things could turn a corner pretty quickly.
All right. But you don't know, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
I'm hoping less than 3 weeks for sure. 2 weeks, you know, that would hurt. If we can get back in 10 days, I'd be very happy.
Okay.
Okay, so he at least has that as a possibility.
Yeah.
In 10 days. So 10 days is the upper end of the optimism scale.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if you start to veer closer and closer to the All-Star break. You know, depending on how bad this is. Again, like, we got anything with the Astros, we got to back up with by pointing out, like, they're so duplicitous when it comes to reporting injuries. Like, you know, and I know Dana Brown's new to the organization. He's probably the most honest guy they've had in a position like that in a long time in terms of disclosing things.
Yeah.
But still. So
Javier and Urquidy, we had a spot on Dana Brown talking about how they feel good in their
good.
Like the day before they announced that they were having they underwent Tommy John surgery at the same time. Same surgeon did the took the Baylor heart medicine route.
Did, oh boy. Oh, 10 days would have Kyle Tucker coming back at the second Minnesota game that I'm going to be at. Oh, that would be some good symmetry that you and I were there for the injury and that I would be there with Amy for the return of Kyle Tucker. That at least one of us would be in attendance there. And I'm sure that's what they're thinking about right now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. You get quality. Oh.
You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Tucker had taken that hit off the shin in like relatively the same area a day or two before that one too.
There was a period.
Just, it was basically what's that Stephen King book or the movie where Misery? It was like the plot of Misery. Basically, he was sitting there getting hobbled by pitchers over and over again, a sledgehammer to the shin, and eventually it was gonna bust.
I wonder, 10 days puts you with about a week left before the All-Star break. If you start to get into that last week before the All-Star break, I wonder if the team looks at it and says, we may be able to buy him like a full, especially if they're winning at that point still too. And keep in mind, they're playing their best baseball with no Kyle Tucker in the lineup. Granted.
Yeah.
Well, I guess say granted it's against Colorado. This weekend it was against Baltimore, one of the best teams in baseball. I do wonder if it starts to get to a point, because Dana didn't sound super sure about anything Tucker related in that cut.
Yeah.
If it starts to get to the point where it's like 3 or 4 days before the All-Star break, if they're, okay, well, maybe this can buy him another week. Now, the other thing is Kyle Tucker's about to be selected for the All-Star game, too. He's about to get voted into the All-Star game.
Yeah. Last night about whether Yordan might do the home run derby, too. That's something to get excited about for the All-Star.
Are you excited about that? There's two ways to go with that, because there's guys who said it messes with their swing in the past, the home run derby.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are guys, that's added. That's post hoc reasoning. Those guys are just making excuses.
Okay.
Yordan will be fine.
I want to see him in it. I think it'd be amazing. It's in Arlington this year, the All-Star game. Is that a good home run hitter's park? I don't know. I know the Astros hit well in that park.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So there's your Astro update. Rockets interested in trading for Kevin Durant, possibly. That's the headline on the screen right now. We'll get to that at 7:45. All the Rockets stuff. They made a trade, flip-flopped a bunch of picks. Bottom line is they've got control over a whole bunch of Phoenix picks over the next, literally the next 5 years. And the thought is they may be using those to approach Phoenix and say, hey, you want your picks back? Give us Kevin Durant. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Daniel Jeremiah, we haven't hit any Texans yet. Daniel Jeremiah was, who was DJ on with when he was doing this podcast?
Rich Eisen.
He was on with Rich Eisen. Okay, the Rich Eisen show. And Daniel Jeremiah had a pretty bold proclamation about what he thinks the Texans could be offensively this year.
What do you think of the Texans hype right now, Daniel?
Well, I mean, yeah, they've shown it already. So my thing is, the scary part about the Texans is Tank Dell stays healthy. You've now, if you can get him through a full 17, and now you incorporate Stephon Diggs, and you just get a normal jump, you know, from year one to year two with C.J. Stroud, and then okay, we've got a chance to talk about, you know, a top three offense in the NFL. They've got that type of capabilities.
That part there, the jump from year one to year two, is it's something that even in this time of year, when you're starting to see some people saying like, hey, you know, to try to have the contrarian take, or just whether they believe it or not, it's fair. It's fair to say like, okay, don't think that the Texans automatically are going to be good or that CJ is going to take this jump. I think amongst the people who really pay attention and watch film, and like the former quarterbacks and coaches who genuinely pay attention and watch film, they're all just unanimously astounded at how advanced CJ's functioning was mentally last year. And there's things about this offense when executed properly, which is that like you give the quarterbacks the answers to the test on every, like on any, if the quarterback is dialed in mentally, he's got an answer, he's got an option, no matter what the defense shows you. It's just a matter of, okay, is your quarterback capable of seeing all that stuff? And CJ, much more so than almost every other rookie quarterback ever, was able to latch onto that and figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's where, and again, it's unanimous. You know, amongst the guys that I trust and respect who really watch the film and know what the hell they're talking about, they've just been kind of blown away by what he was able to do. So
yeah.
The thought of a sophomore slump, it's hard to really put it out there. Yeah, I think it's you can casually throw it out there like, oh, yeah, but where's the sophomore slump? The things that would contribute to a sophomore slump with a quarterback, they're just all those traditional things just aren't necessarily there for CJ. The one big unknown is just, yeah, teams have the entire offseason to look at what CJ did well, what his weaknesses were, and then the real chess match begins when they're like, all right, well, you know, here's where he struggled last year, but it wasn't really exploited because we didn't have the benefit of an entire season to look at. Let's see how he handles it this year.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, like CJ was so advanced so early. I wonder if how many teams the Texans played that normally like, hey, we'll do our film study on him in the offseason. I wonder how many teams they play were just accelerating. Like, okay, we really need to pay attention. Like, this is not a normal rookie. Like, we actually need to, like, oh, we got this rookie coming up and that rookie coming up. Like, okay, well, this guy's a little different.
Which one did he point? He pointed it to, was it the Steelers game where he said that was the last time that it felt like they game planned like he was a rookie?
Jacksonville week three.
That's right.
Jacksonville week three, he felt like that was the last time that I got the rookie game plan, and the Steelers were the first ones that he felt like kind of
throwing everything at him.
Yeah, like brought like football 401 instead of 101 at him. And he also said that was the game where he felt like that was where the Texans kind of that was where he as a quarterback and them as a team started to feel like, man, we may have something here, you know?
Yeah.
So because they were throwing everything at him and they won 30-6 that day, you know?
And I think DJ addresses this in one of the clips, but just the I like that DJ understood the dynamic too of those first couple weeks. Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, he was doing a lot of things that rookie offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators do, is that they wanna install their whole offense way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Bobby probably realized, wow, this kid's no normal rookie. And they got a little too ambitious in those first couple weeks, the Baltimore game especially. Like, they had multiple guys in motion all over the place. There are a lot of plates to keep spinning for a rookie quarterback. They pulled back on that and then really just focused on what CJ could do at that point and built on it from there. And I appreciated that Daniel figured that out or understood that dynamic.
Yeah, here's Jeremiah talking about that.
I don't know if we give enough hyper attention to what the guy on the screen did last year, but that was incredible what Stroud did. And I thought the way that they broke him in was so smart, where they came out, overdid it a little the first two games, pulled the reins back for a handful of weeks, let him get his feet underneath him, let him get comfortable. And then it was just a rocket ship the way he took off and the way he was attacking defenses. So if they get, you know, they start at that point this year where they left off, I don't see why this couldn't be, you know, one of the really best offenses in the NFL. And then they have so many young pieces on defense with a couple potential stars. Stingley was awesome last year. Obviously, Will Anderson, you know, we know what he is already, already established himself. They've got some real intriguing parts and intriguing pieces.
You know, the one thing about all of that is in a season in which, I honestly think the thing that people outside of Houston wouldn't understand if they weren't watching every week and watching the actual in real time. It's one thing to watch film, but watching in real time, the fact that D'Amico made so few game management errors as a rookie head coach, as a defensive-minded rookie head coach, they were really on top of it in terms of game management. I think the one thing where D'Amico may have showed some of his rawness as a head coach was in managing Bobby Slowick those first two games. Because that's always I've just seen this happen. I've been a player and seen this happen on the field and what have you. New coordinators, first-time coordinators, almost always want to do too much early on. And I wonder if D'Amico, when they red team this, like, so, you know, when you've got a red team that basically tries to poke holes in your game plan. So, like, people do this in corporate America, too. It goes back to the Cold War days where you would have a mission and then you have a red team come in, you know, the commies, to basically say, okay, well, this is how I would attack that. I just wonder when they were red teaming that Baltimore game the first week, if anybody said, hey, you know, this seems like a lot. This seems like a lot for a rookie quarterback with three backup offensive linemen and everything else that was going on with the offense at that point. That, you know, and meanwhile, D'Amico is a first-time head coach who is also the defensive, basically he's calling the defensive plays. If that was a little too much for him to manage the entire team at that point, because ultimately that's his job too, is Slowick is his friend and his buddy and his, probably looks at him as equal in a lot of ways because D'Amico's not a macho, you know, power trip type of guy.
Right.
That was a moment where, you know, that's the head coach's job to tell the offensive coordinator, hey, man, like, this is a bit much.
Yeah. Then if you're a Texan fan, you should be just as impressed with how quickly the coaching staff adapted last season as you were C.J. Stroud, because at that 0-2 start, I mean, I remember the postgame show after losing to Indianapolis that second week, they were not really competitive. I mean, I know, like, for a half they were against Baltimore, and then they got steamrolled in the second half. And then against Indianapolis, they rolled over at the beginning of the game and made it look a little better on the scoreboard. You know, CJ threw for a boatload of yards, but it really wasn't a competitive game. You know, Indianapolis kind of eased up. And I remember saying, man, honeymoon's over. I remember saying, Slowick's just some dude who coached for Kyle Shanahan. That's all he is. Because he was running the ball a lot in the second half of that game, down three touchdowns, and felt like they were more like trying to establish the run still, down 31-10, you know?
That I actually appreciate that, because I do think that is part of the hard thing that new coaches have to do, is you got to establish for a team that would go on to use play action very, very effectively.
Yeah.
And I know and I understand how frustrating it can be as a fan. That team, the reason CJ was so good at the deep ball, one of them was that they were genuinely committed to the run.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you to have an actually good offense, you got to actually be able to run the ball well too. But in establishing the play action, you don't necessarily have to run the ball well. You just have to show that you're committed to running the
for
ball.
For sure. But, you know, still question marks around Slowick. And then, like, the early part of that Indianapolis game, that looked early in that game like a team whose head coach is really also the defensive coordinator, who's managing all the moving parts of being a head coach for the first. That looked like a defense that wasn't ready to play that day with Anthony Richardson. And that they got it battened down so quickly. I mean, the next week they came out and destroyed the defending division champions in their place by 20 points the next week.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were off for the race. They were 10-5 for the rest of the season after that.
The ability to get things on track without panicking was the very, very good thing in the way that D'Amico rebounded from that.
Yep.
But, I think you got to understand, like, this is not, like, me digging for a compliment or something. Think about the various great offensive-minded head coaches who are notorious for their game management blunders. Andy Reid forever, you know, forever would make horrendous game management decisions. Mm-hmm. And he figured it out. Probably he learned to lean more on, you know, the people in the upstairs and everything. But for a rookie defensive-minded head coach to have so few, and I won't even say bad game management decisions, just questionable game decisions. There were like two, I think, total that entire season. Mm-hmm. And they weren't even outright bad. They were just like, ah, I don't know if that was the right thing to do in that moment. It's really... It's not something that grabs attention week to week in the highlights or anything, but it was something that makes me feel very optimistic about the staff moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, probably the two, if I'm going back and thinking, I remember there being some consternation among fans over trying to kick a 58-yard field goal to tie the game against Jacksonville, right, instead of letting, yeah, C.J. Stroud go for it on fourth down.
And
with,
that was,
with a
ba- it was
with a backup,
questionable.
With a backup kicker.
Yeah, that with was a backup Amendola. Kicker, yeah. And I thought that was still one. I don't know what the advanced analytics showed on it and everything, but given the flow of the game and the way things were going and everything, it almost felt like in D'Amico's mind, it was the better of two really bad options.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't egregious, but that it didn't work, I think, opened up Pandora's box, and then probably, and this is just it's not an enviable position, but the way the quarterback position was handled in that Cleveland game where you're shuffling Mills and Keenum in and out, like,
yeah,
when it doesn't, yeah, work, you know, those are things that when it doesn't work, you're like, what are you doing here? Like, why are we? And
yeah,
at the same time,
yeah,
it's like, it's Keenum and Mills. Are we really, like, is there, it's a big difference between the two? You're trying to ambush a little bit, you know?
Right, right. You're trying to ambush. Like, do I give them credit for, ultimately, you look back on it and you look at it and say, okay, well, they won half their games when your starting quarterback was out, which is, yeah, like the general rule of thumb. Yeah. All right, can you figure out a way to win half your games with your starting quarterback
out? That's right. That's right. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Astros afternoon game today. We'll get to the Rockets in the next segment. Would you be cool with rooting for this particular trade target for the Rockets? We'll get to that. We will reprise the Great American College Coaches Lie-Off at the top of the hour, in honor of Jim Schlossnozzle, the Texas A&M. Schlossnagel, I know that's his name. But I know A&M fans are calling him much worse things than that today.
We've been looking at it from the Aggies' perspective. I guess we got to also look at it from the Longhorns' perspective, too, where there's a certain gloat factor, you know?
The cat that ate the canary? Yes.
Yeah, it's more fun to focus on the misery, I guess, but there are a lot of gloating Longhorns out there right now.
There are. So we'll take, yeah, it from, we'll look at it from both sides. We'll do that at the top of the hour. So we got a busy show here on a Wednesday. Appreciate you jumping in with us. Download the Odyssey app. If you're in your car and you want to bring us with you, download the Odyssey app because you can bring us with you on your phone. Once you get to your office or cubicle, watch us on YouTube and Twitch as well. Up next, we'll hit the Rockets and the big trade they made last night. Confusing details, but we'll net it out and tell you what it all means coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So the Rockets made a move last night. I'm not going to get as frustrated as I did in the open to the show and reading the details. You know why? Because I'm not going to read the details of this trade. You just need to know that the Rockets and the Brooklyn Nets, boy, Brooklyn was busy last night. They traded Mikal Bridges. We'll get to that in a second, too. But the Rockets made a trade with the Nets. And keep in mind, the Nets had a bunch of Phoenix picks and control of Phoenix pick swaps because of the Kevin Durant trade. So the Rockets decided to call the Nets and give them back a couple of their picks because the Rockets have some Brooklyn picks from the James Harden trade. Gave them back control of next year's first, gave them back their 26 first, and said, hey, how about giving us control of some of these Phoenix picks in 2025, 2027, 2029, and there's some swaps, there's some actual picks that got traded. The bottom line is the Rockets now have some degree of control, if not outright possession, of Phoenix first-round draft capital for much of the next 5 years. And the thought process is, this is straight from Adrian Wojnarowski, I'll read the tweet. The implications of the Rockets landing the Suns' picks, Houston wants to trade for Kevin Durant. And that becomes far easier if they can return the Suns picks that they gave up, they being the Suns, in the Durant deal to the Nets. Suns have said they're keeping Durant for now, but that could change next season. But now Houston has the picks to make the Suns whole again. Someone texted earlier, is Raphael Stone trying to pull a Sonny Weaver? If you've seen the movie Draft Day, that was the classic thing at the end of the movie where he's like, hey, man, I can give you back all your picks, and we can just be on with our lives here if you've seen Draft Day. Bottom line here, Seth, with the Rockets, I think the big takeaway is they are clearly aggressively big game hunting right now, as has been rumored. Like, they're looking to stop being the team that has seven first-round guys on rookie contracts, and they're looking to add, like, not Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks-level veteran savvy and talent, like, a couple cuts above that here.
And the big one is Kevin Durant.
Yes.
So the big kahuna and all the maneuverings and the, I guess, speculation, although when Woj brings it up and talks about how this might be an angle towards getting Kevin Durant, that's what gets exciting. The potential to bring Kevin Durant here and, like, not just veteran leadership, whatever, who gives a damn? Like, this guy's a baller and yeah, can dude, just
drops
can
30
unlock,
every night.
Yeah. You can level up three levels all in one fell swoop.
Yeah. So, if they were to pull off this trade for Durant, and they're looking at other guys, too. I'm sure Paul George's name has come up in the building over there. Obviously, Durant is a better player than Paul George. Both old players at this point. Durant, an old player who's had Achilles issues in the last few, torn an Achilles in the last handful of years. Been healthy, by and large, the last couple of years. I guess the question would be, like, what is, if Kevin Durant, if what you're giving up are first-round picks, presumably, I'm guessing if you were to make a trade with Phoenix, at least one, if not more, of your young guys that you've drafted. You know, if I'm Phoenix and I'm getting my first-round picks back, I'm certainly asking about Cam Whitmore in this deal, maybe. I'm asking about maybe Jabari Smith Jr. You know, I don't think the Rockets are of mind to trade Şengün, and I know they really like Jalen Green a lot, so I don't know. I think they're closer to extending both of those guys than they are trading either of those guys. But it is Kevin Durant, so maybe you do need to pony up one of those guys. Durant's impact on this team, like they were 41-41. They had the best record of any non-top 10 seed in the history of the Western Conference. They were the 11 seed with a 500 record last year. What does Durant do, you think? Does Durant put them in like a 50-win category?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, look, if you look at it, the big X factor, and we're all a little gun-shy because of Jose Abreu, but like he played 75 games this year. He'd be 36 years old next year, but he played 75 games, averaged 27 points a game. Like a lot of his career percentages are right on par with what he's been doing the last decade. So I think it's depending on how it all shakes out and how everything looks. I don't want to say it's a no-brainer, but it's an appropriately aggressive move.
Yes.
It would be something to get super excited about.
Yeah, his game age is fine, I think, for a guy who's in his mid-30s, you know?
Yeah, 7-footer with ball skills, like, that doesn't change as long as you stay healthy.
Yeah.
It flat out, it is aging really well, and at least in the immediate short term, I don't think you should be pessimistic about him all of a sudden falling off a cliff.
No, his game's not built on being a super explosive athlete. His game is built on knocking down three-point shots, having an unstoppable turnaround jumper in the mid-range, and his length, which is not going anywhere. You know, he's still
Have a Dirk Nowitzki level of athleticism. Okay. You know, like the fade, like Dirk's fadeaway was not going to change no matter what, and so far in this era where there's more and more guys that play well into their late 30s, and Durant has already overcome the toughest thing of all, which is overcoming an Achilles tendon surgery in his 30s for a basketball player, stuff that didn't usually happen. That was all the way back. That was 2019, 2020.
It's against the Rockets.
It's been six seasons already.
Yeah, it was.
It
was that playoff series against the Rockets in 2019 when he tore it.
I also like that. Look, the Nets have been the trade partner that keeps on giving. So,
dude.
Yeah.
Well, and they were on the other side of a trade last night. I guess this is Rockets related, too, because I think a lot of Rocket fans were wondering if Mikal Bridges from the Nets could become a Rocket, because there was a lot of rumor around that going into last season around the trade deadline. There had been a lot of, hey, Brooklyn, we'll give you your picks back from the Harden trade. Maybe a Jalen Green in there, whatever, for Mikal Bridges. And now with Mikal Bridges, you'd have a guy who's a really good player. He's certainly not A1 all-star. Like if Mikal Bridges is your best player, you're the 2024 Brooklyn Nets, which is a lottery team. So he's certainly improves your team. He's off the list now because he just got traded last night. Brooklyn was active. He got traded real quick, just a detail, Seth. He got traded to the Knicks for 4 first-round picks and some other stuff, too, like a pick swap. Like, Mikal Bridges is the level of player that commands teams just gutting their future drafts for.
Yeah. It's just the Wild West in terms of compensation and everything on all these. I guess the one big reservation I would have is that for this team that already has questions and issues about, okay, how your best players don't seem to play well together when they're on the court together, so you've got chemistry issues and what have you. Durant, like the one big like hanging issue with him has always been, including when they were winning championships with Golden State, was just how much does he really buy into the flow and getting all the parts fitting exactly where they want to fit. Yeah. So it's like he's not the aging guy that's going to come in and be the hammer to that now, I don't think. Mm-mm. And that's where it's on Udoka.
Yes.
And how well does Durant work with Udoka and all of everything else that goes along with that?
Yeah, along those lines, text message. With all due respect, guys, Durant is a human. Ole! Is in a matador on defense. I'm not looking for excitement. This is the texter saying this. I'm not looking for excitement. That's not what Udoka is looking for. Durant was exposed by Anthony Edwards in the playoffs. That's a fair point. Like, is a trade for Durant, I think unquestionably Durant makes you better. Even if there's warts on the defensive side of things, he's one of the best scorers in modern history, and he's still at or near the tippy top of his game. The question I would have is like, okay, is this a like kind of like Astro-like? Like, is this a move? Is this a Fertitta move?
Or is it a Udoka approved?
Is everybody all in on this move? Or is this something that's driven to kind of drive the Rockets' relevancy up? Box office.
I mean, there's a very good chance that Udoka himself might have put the kibosh on
Harden
coming back here. So at the very least, even like when Udoka had less skin in the game and hadn't proven himself and all of that, I think Udoka had that power to at least be a contributing factor to not going after James Harden. That I'm guessing they trust Udoka in this instance.
I don't think Durant is a horrible defender either. Like, I think he's not Harden. Like, Harden clearly doesn't give effort. Like, Durant's deficiencies defensively are because he's super skinny and he can get muscled around a little bit if he gets in the wrong matchup. But I think he gives effort, and his length is super helpful on defense.
It's one of those, just by sheer geometry, as it happens in basketball sometimes, the geometry makes a difference. That even when, depending on whatever you do on ball is one thing, but just by having that arm span, and by engaging in the defense.
Yep.
Like Harden could be a really good defensive player when he felt like playing defense and when he was dialed in mentally and not just losing track of people. Like it's not the same level of concern as it was with Harden.
All right, if you missed it, all caps text just jumped out of me right now. I don't want Durant on this thriving young team. His attitude would ruin it. I think you're misconstruing his sensitivity on social media with his actual attitude. I think he's got a good basketball attitude, you know? I don't think he's a bad teammate.
This is a man that I still don't know where I fall in the Draymond versus Durant saga. That was watching two ugly women that you also dislike having a cat fight. You can't really get into it, you know?
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast. We did this earlier. If you missed it, we're going to do it again. The big news around here yesterday, A&M getting just pieced out by their baseball coach. He's on his way not only out, but to their arch rival, the University of Texas, something he denied he would do a couple of nights ago. So where does this fall on the lying college coaches scale? A&M, former A&M head coach Jim Schlossnagel. We'll compare him to historic liars in the Great American Lie-Off 2024 edition. Payne and Pendergast, that's next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a great day to venture out in a spacious and capable Toyota SUV, like the new RAV4. With available all-wheel drive, it can go just about anywhere. And with plenty of passenger and cargo space, you'll go from morning carpool to weekend road trip without missing a beat. Plus, with available features like wireless charging and a touchscreen interface, your Toyota RAV4 will keep you connected no matter where you're going. Or check out a spacious Highlander. With seating for up to eight, it's a hub for family adventure. You'll drive in comfort and style with available heated and ventilated seats and all the latest tech. And with available hybrid models, your new Highlander can save you tons on gas. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a RAV4 or Highlander today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
I mean, I know like for a half they were against Baltimore and then they got steamrolled in the second half. And then against Indianapolis, they rolled over at the beginning of the game and made it look a little better on the scoreboard. You know, CJ threw for a boatload of yards, but it really wasn't a competitive game. You know, Indianapolis kind of eased up. And I remember saying, man, honeymoon's over. I remember saying Slowick's just some dude who coached for Kyle Shanahan. That's all he is. Because he was running the ball a lot in the second half of that game, down three touchdowns, and felt like they were more like trying to establish the run still, down 31-10, you know?
That I actually appreciate that, because I do think that is part of the hard thing that new coaches have to do, is you got to establish for a team that would go on to use play action very, very effectively.
Yeah.
And I know and I understand how frustrating it can be as a fan. that team, the reason CJ was so good at the deep ball, one of them was that they were genuinely committed to the run.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you to have an actually good offense, you got to actually be able to run the ball well too. But in establishing the play action, you don't necessarily have to run the ball well. You just have to show that you're committed to running the
for
ball.
For sure, for sure. But, you know, still question marks around Slowik. And then, like, the early part of that Indianapolis game, that looked early in that game like a team whose head coach is really also the defensive coordinator, who's managing all the moving parts of being a head coach for the first. That looked like a defense that wasn't ready to play that day with Anthony Richardson. And that they got it battened down so quickly. I mean, the next week they came out and destroyed the defending division champions in their place by 20 points the next week.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were off to the race. They were 10-5 for the rest of the season after that.
The ability to get things on track without panicking was the very, very good thing in the way that D'Amico rebounded from that.
Yep.
But, I think you got to understand, like, this is not, like, me digging for a compliment or something. Think about the various great offensive-minded head coaches who are notorious for their game management blunders. Andy Reid forever would make horrendous game management decisions. Mm-hmm. And he figured it out. Probably he learned to lean more on, you know, the people in the upstairs and everything. But for a rookie defensive-minded head coach to have so few, and I won't even say bad game management decisions, just questionable game decisions. There were like two, I think, total that entire season. Mm-hmm. And they weren't even outright bad. They were just like, I don't know if that was the right thing to do in that moment. It's really... It's not something that grabs attention week to week in the highlights or anything, but it was something that makes me feel very optimistic about the staff moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, probably the two. If I'm going back and thinking, I remember there being some consternation among fans over trying to kick a 58-yard field goal to tie the game against Jacksonville instead of letting C.J. Stroud go for it on fourth down.
With a backup kicker. Yeah,
that was
with
Amendola.
A backup kicker, and I thought that was still one. I don't know what the advanced analytics showed on it and everything, but given the flow of the game and the way things were going and everything, it almost felt like in D'Amico's mind, it was the better of two really bad options.
Yeah. It wasn't egregious, but that it didn't work, I think, opened up Pandora's box, and then probably, and this is just it's not an enviable position, but the way the quarterback position was handled in that Cleveland game where you're shuffling Mills and Keenum in and out, like,
yeah,
when it doesn't work, you know, those are things that when it doesn't work, you're like, what are you doing here? Like, why are we? And
yeah,
at the same time, it's like it's Keenum and Mills. Are we really? Like, is there a big difference between the two? You're trying to ambush a little bit, you know?
Right. You're trying to ambush. Like, do I give them credit for? Ultimately, you look back on it and you look at it and say, okay, well, they won half their games when your starting quarterback was out, which is the general rule of thumb. Yeah. All right, can you figure out a way to win half your games with your starting quarterback out?
That's right. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Astros afternoon game today. We'll get to the Rockets in the next segment. Would you be cool with rooting for this particular trade target for the Rockets? We'll get to that. We will reprise the Great American College Coaches Lie-Off at the top of the hour, in honor of Jim Schlossnagel, the Texas A&M. Schlossnagel, I know that's his name. But I know A&M fans are calling him much worse things than that today.
We've been looking at it from the Aggies' perspective. I guess we got to also look at it from the Longhorns' perspective, too, where there's a certain gloat factor, you know?
The cat that ate the canary? Yes.
Yeah, it's more fun to focus on the misery, I guess, but there are a lot of gloating Longhorns out there right now.
There are. So we'll take it from we'll look at it from both sides. We'll do that at the top of the hour. So we got a busy show here on a Wednesday. Appreciate you jumping in with us. Download the Odyssey app. If you're in your car and you want to bring us with you, download the Odyssey app because you can bring us with you on your phone. Once you get to your office or cubicle, watch us on YouTube and Twitch as well. Up next, we'll hit the Rockets and the big trade they made last night. Confusing details, but we'll net it out and tell you what it all means coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So the Rockets made a move last night. I'm not going to get as frustrated as I did in the open to the show and reading the details. You know why? Because I'm not going to read the details of this trade. You just need to know that the Rockets and the Brooklyn Nets, boy, Brooklyn was busy last night. They traded Mikal Bridges. We'll get to that in a second, too. But the Rockets made a trade with the Nets, And keep in mind, the Nets had a bunch of Phoenix picks and control of Phoenix pick swaps because of the Kevin Durant trade. So the Rockets decided to call the Nets and give them back a couple of their picks, because the Rockets have some Brooklyn picks from the James Harden trade. Gave them back control of next year's first, gave them back their 26 first, and said, hey, how about giving us control of some of these Phoenix picks in 2025, 2027, 2029? And there's some swaps, there's some actual picks that got traded. The bottom line is, the Rockets now have some degree of control, if not outright possession, of Phoenix first-round draft capital for much of the next 5 years. And the thought process is, this is straight from Adrian Wojnarowski, I'll read the tweet. The implications of the Rockets landing the Suns' picks: Houston wants to trade for Kevin Durant, and that becomes far easier if they can return the Suns' picks that they gave up, they being the Suns, in the Durant deal to the Nets. Suns have said they're keeping Durant for now, but that could change next season. But now, Houston has the picks to make the Suns whole again. Someone texted earlier, is Raphael Stone trying to pull a Sonny Weaver? If you've seen the movie Draft Day, that was the classic thing at the end of the movie where he's like, hey man, I can give you back all your picks, and we can just be on with our lives here, if you've seen Draft Day. Bottom line here, Seth, with the Rockets, I think the big takeaway is they are clearly aggressively big game hunting right now, as has been rumored. Like, they're looking to stop being the team that has seven first-round guys on rookie contracts, and they're looking to add, like, not Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks-level veteran savvy and talent, like, a couple cuts above that here.
And the big one is Kevin Durant.
Yes.
So the big kahuna and all the maneuverings and the, I guess, speculation, although when Woj brings it up and talks about how this might be an angle towards getting Kevin Durant, that's what gets exciting. The potential to bring Kevin Durant here, and like, not just veteran leadership, whatever. Duh, who gives a damn? Like, this guy's a baller and yeah, can
30 unlock every night.
You can level up three levels all in one fell swoop.
Yeah. So if they were to pull off this trade for Durant, and they're looking at other guys too, I'm sure Paul George's name has come up in the building over there. Obviously, Durant is a better player than Paul George. Both old players at this point. Durant, an old player who's had Achilles issues in the last few, torn an Achilles in the last handful of years. Been healthy, by and large, the last couple of years. I guess the question would be, like, what is, if Kevin Durant, if what you're giving up are first-round picks, presumably, I'm guessing if you were to make a trade with Phoenix, at least one, if not more, of your young guys that you've drafted. You know, if I'm Phoenix and I'm getting my first-round picks back, I'm certainly asking about Cam Whitmore in this deal, maybe. I'm asking about maybe Jabari Smith Jr. You know, I don't think the Rockets are of mind to trade Şengün, and I know they really like Jalen Green a lot, so I don't know. I think they're closer to extending both of those guys than they are trading either of those guys. But it is Kevin Durant, so maybe you do need to pony up one of those guys. Durant's impact on this team, like, they were 41-41. They had the best record of any non-top 10 seed in the history of the Western Conference. They were the 11 seed with a 500 record last year. What does Durant do, do you think? Does Durant put them in like a 50-win category?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, look, if you look at it, the big X factor, and we're all a little gun-shy because of Jose Abreu, but like, he played 75 games this year. He'd be 36 years old next year, but he played... He played 75 games, averaged 27 points a game. Like, a lot of his career percentages are right on par with what he's been doing the last decade. So I think it's, depending on how it all shakes out and how everything looks, I don't want to say it's a no-brainer, but it's an appropriately aggressive move.
Yes.
It would be something to get super excited about.
Yeah. His game age is fine, I think, for a guy who's in his mid-30s, you know?
Yeah, 7-footer with ball skills, like, that doesn't change as long as you stay healthy.
Yeah.
It flat out, it is aging really well, and at least in the immediate short term, I don't think you should be pessimistic about him all of a sudden falling off a cliff.
No, his game's not built on being a super explosive athlete. His game is built on knocking down 3-point shots, having an unstoppable turnaround jumper in the mid-range, and yeah. and his length, which is not going anywhere. You know, he's still.
Can he have a Dirk Nowitzki level of athleticism? Okay, you know, like the fade, like Dirk's fadeaway was not going to change no matter what. And so far in this era where there's more and more guys that play well into their late 30s, and Durant has already overcome the toughest thing of all, which is overcoming an Achilles tendon surgery in his 30s for a basketball player, stuff that didn't usually happen. That was all the way back. That was 2019, 2020.
It's been
6 seasons already.
Yeah, it was. It was that playoff series against the Rockets in 2019 when he tore it.
I also like that. Look, the Nets have been the trade partner that keeps on giving. So,
dude.
Yeah.
Well, and they were on the other side of a trade last night. I guess this is Rockets related, too, because I think a lot of Rocket fans are wondering if Mikal Bridges from the Nets could become a Rocket, because there was a lot of rumor around that going into last season around the trade deadline. There had been a lot of, hey, Brooklyn, we'll give you your picks back from the Harden trade. Maybe a Jalen Green in there, whatever, for Mikal Bridges. And now with Mikal Bridges, you'd have a guy who's a really good player. He's certainly not A1 all-star. Like if Mikal Bridges is your best player, you're the 2024 Brooklyn Nets, which is a lottery team. So he certainly improves your team. He's off the list now because he just got traded last night. Brooklyn was active. He got traded, real quick, just a detail, Seth. He got traded to the Knicks for 4 first-round picks and some other stuff, too, like a pick swap. Like, Mikal Bridges is the level of player that commands teams just gutting their future drafts for.
Yeah. It's just the Wild West in terms of compensation and everything on all these. I guess the one big reservation I would have is that for this team that already has questions and issues about, okay, how your best players don't seem to play well together when they're on the court together, so you've got chemistry issues and what have you. Durant, like the one big like hanging issue with him has always been, including when they were winning championships with Golden State, was just how much does he really buy into the flow and getting all the parts fitting exactly where they want to fit. So it's like he's not the aging guy that's going to come in and be the hammer to that nail, I don't think. Mm-mm. And that's where it's on Udoka.
Yes.
And how well does Durant work with Udoka and all of everything else that goes along with that?
Yeah, along those lines. Text message, with all due respect, guys, Durant is a human. Ole! Is in a matador on defense. I'm not looking for excitement. This is the texter saying this. I'm not looking for excitement. That's not what Udoka is looking for. Durant was exposed by Anthony Edwards in the playoffs. That's a fair point. Like, is a trade for Durant, I think unquestionably Durant makes you better. Even if there's warts on the defensive side of things, he's one of the best scorers in modern history, and he's still at or near the tippy top of his game. The question I would have is like, okay, is this a, like, kind of like Astro-like? Like, is this a move? Is this a Fertitta move?
Or is it a Udoka approved?
Is everybody all in on this move? Or is this something that's driven to kind of drive the Rockets' relevancy up? You know, box office.
Well, I mean, there's a very good chance that Udoka himself might have put the kibosh on
Harden
coming back here. So at the very least, even like when Udoka had less skin in the game and hadn't proven himself and all of that, I think Udoka had that power. To at least be a contributing factor to not going after James Harden, that I'm guessing they trust Udoka in this instance.
I don't think Durant is a horrible defender either. Like, I think he's not Harden. Like, Harden clearly doesn't give effort. Like, Durant's deficiencies defensively are because he's super skinny and he can get muscled around a little bit if he gets in the wrong matchup. But I think he gives effort, and his length is super helpful on defense.
It's one of those, just by sheer geometry, as it happens in basketball sometimes, the geometry makes a difference. That even when, depending on whatever you do on ball is one thing, but just by having that arm span, and by engaging in the defense.
Yep.
Like Harden could be a really good defensive player when he felt like playing defense and when he was dialed in mentally and not just losing track of people. Like it's not the same level of concern as it was with Harden.
All right, if you missed it, all caps text just jumped out of me right now. I don't want Durant on this thriving young team. His attitude would ruin it. I think you're misconstruing his sensitivity on social media with his actual attitude. I think he's got a good basketball attitude, you know? I don't think he's a bad teammate.
This is a man that's this is a man that I still don't know where I fall in the Draymond versus Durant saga. That was like watching two ugly women that you also dislike having a cat fight. You can't really get into it, you know.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast. We did this earlier. If you missed it, we're going to do it again. The big news around here yesterday: A&M getting just pieced out by their baseball coach. He's on his way not only out but to their arch rival, the University of Texas. Something he denied he would do a couple of nights ago. So where does this fall on the lying college coaches scale? A&M, former A&M head coach Jim Schlossnagel. We'll compare him to historic liars in the Great American Lie Off 2024 edition. Payne and Pendergast, that's next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a great day to venture out in a spacious and capable Toyota SUV, like the new RAV4. With available all-wheel drive, it can go just about anywhere. And with plenty of passenger and cargo space, you'll go from morning carpool to weekend road trip without missing a beat. Plus, with available features like wireless charging and a touchscreen interface, your Toyota RAV4 will keep you connected no matter where you're going. Or check out a spacious Highlander. With seating for up to 8, it's a hub for family adventure. You'll drive in comfort and style with available heated and ventilated seats and all the latest tech. And with available hybrid models, your new Highlander can save you tons on gas. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a RAV4 or Highlander today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.